This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
April means pro football.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take.
I don't do a ton of research.
In my knowledge of him, he's never ever put on a jockstrap. He's never been a coach. He's never been a scout. He's never been an administrator. And all of a sudden, he's an expert.
Well, I think we do a decent job for guys who suck.
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Celebrating 35 years of fitness with a party on Tuesday, April 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Aloha, Beaverton, Division Center, and Vancouver Plaza.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080. The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland. Sports leader 1080, The Fan. Yes.
Hump day.
Happy hump day indeed.
What is happening?
Good morning.
Days are just flying by, man. NFL drafts tomorrow. Big weekend ahead. Exciting stuff.
I had a dream that me and Eric Spolstra were on a road trip together.
What kind of music does Eric Spolstra listen to on a road trip? Or is he a podcast guy?
We talked the whole time.
Just a conversation.
Yeah.
It's a lot of talking.
It is a lot of talking, and I ruined the, to no surprise of anybody that's listened to anything I've done, I ruined the conversation eventually.
So he will no longer be the Blazers head coach? Was that, were you like hired by the Blazers to be an emissary to go recruit him to be the next head coach?
No, I can't remember what the circumstances quite were for us to hit the road. Mm. It wasn't like end of the world scenario, but okay. There was some weird event where me and Eric Spolstra had to hit the road.
You're just on the run from something. There's something chasing you, something to be afraid of. Of all the NBA coaches you could be stuck in a road trip with, he'd probably be pretty high on the list.
I'd be hard pressed to think of who would be in the category with him.
I mean, I can only name about seven NBA head coaches, so I'm going to need some help here.
That's fine.
Let's see.
But like,
I guess it would depend on how much basketball you wanted to talk versus.
See, that's the thing with him, that we've interviewed him on the show before, and he's a funny dude. Like, we ended up talking half the time about a Grateful Dead concert.
Exactly. Yeah.
He was great, and he's from the local area. Like, so you're going to get basketball, but you're also, he's good talking other things.
Yes.
Because Popovich, if you had Popovich on a plane next to you, the wealth of basketball knowledge, like that and wine knowledge.
I don't think he'd want to talk basketball with
no,
you.
No, see, that's the thing.
He looks down on your basketball knowledge.
Yeah,
definitely does.
You get him talking about wine, though, I bet you will. The flight will be over before you know it.
His wine is in Portland.
Yeah.
He's got a wine. He's teamed up with a winery, yep. I think, in our area.
Now, let me take a shot in the dark here, and maybe I'm wrong on my take. My looking at Rick Carlisle feel like he's a cool dude. Rick Carlisle, a good dude?
Rick Carlisle, probably a good dude.
Okay.
Seems like he's a good dude.
Seems like like a down-to-earth kind of guy.
What's funny about you looking at that list is I almost, before Swag talked, almost said, I wonder if Rick Carlisle, I was thinking, I wonder where Rick Carlisle is on this.
Terry Stotts would have been near the top. Terry Stotts is a down-to-earth cool dude, and we always enjoyed our interactions with him. He would be okay, bearable.
See, here's my thing. My qualifier would be, is the coach willing to participate in the weird? You know, like the would you rather game. Do I have a coach in the car that's going to play the would you rather? And it's going to be a ridiculous would you rather.
Throw some FMKs at them.
Like,
you know?
Do you want your nipples as long as your legs or your legs to be the length of your finger? You know what I mean? Like, I want to know.
You got to choose nipples as long as your legs. Legs the size of your nipples, then you're not going anywhere.
But imagine your legs hanging off your boobs.
That's okay. Are they the size of legs or the size of nipples? Like, are they long and skinny?
Because no, then the size of your legs.
So it's that big.
Yes.
It's like this. Okay, then it's a different conversation.
Well, then you're a four-legged animal.
Well, that's true, but think about how weird your legs look when they're as long as your fingers.
I think I would choose to still have legs, and then I kind of walk, and my chest is just down towards the ground. I'm like a spider at that point.
How
do you move with legs the size of nipples?
You're like that one guy in Shallow Hal. Is that what you are?
That's a really good pull by you.
That is a great pull. If we're going like
the guy that gets walked,
yeah,
put a leash on him.
Hey, she's gonna go walk me now. All right.
What are you doing, man? Hey, you have fun, buddy.
Awesome.
Whatever.
It's over.
But no, I ruined the conversation in my dream. Like, quite literally, he got out of the car. He went to some house or hotel. I couldn't quite make it out. And I saw him about 20 minutes later, and he wouldn't even acknowledge me anymore.
Wouldn't even wave at you.
And the question I didn't think was really even the weirdest question I could come up with in real life.
What'd you ask him?
I said, hey, man, how does the pressure of trying to win a championship now versus the first year you were in the championship compare? And it offended him.
That's a pretty reasonable question.
Actually, it's a real question I'd want to know.
I would, too, because I can imagine the pressure that he felt trying to win one with
that group.
With the Heatles, especially after they lost to Dallas the first year.
Being a no-name coach that largely is like, wait, Pat Riley's not going to coach this team? You're going to have this guy do it?
He's just looming behind you. Pat Riley's going to step back into the bench, and you're going to get fired at any given moment. And then they decide to not fire him, and now 10 years later, he's still the head coach there.
You know,
considered to be one of the best in the NBA.
It's a good little backstory. That first year, they came up short against the Mavs. Really, LeBron came up short against the Mavs.
Yeah, J.J. Barea locked him down.
Hey.
Shout out to the little people out
there. Alvarado bothered him, too.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, you got to be careful. There's a story that Pat Riley basically, I think it was LeBron. I'm not sure it was Wade, because Wade was pretty familiar with him from being in the organization. But I think it was from the LeBron camp. And it was kind of like, hey, why don't you fix this? Why don't you come down from your box and come coach this team the way he did when they fired Stan Van Gundy in 06 and they won the championship with Pat Riley.
Pat Riley got another ring as a coach.
And Pat Riley was so committed and liked Spoelstra so much that he basically told the Bronx people to piss off.
He said, shut up.
He's coaching this team. Deal with it.
He knows what he's doing. He's going to be okay.
Yeah.
There's no need to panic 1 year into this entire thing.
And LeBron in the Reddick pod, he basically said what Spo did was he worked with Chip Kelly that offseason after they lost the championship. He came home and he wanted to see if he could take the spread, you know, hurry up system for that Oregon was running and apply it in basketball. And then if you haven't heard the story, LeBron basically says they moved Bosch to the five and out so that nobody would clog the paint. And so D-Wade and Bron could cut. Or they bring it down like a locomotive and there's nobody in the paint.
You telling me right now that Chip Kelly won those titles for the Miami Heat? Is that what you're telling me right
now? It's the closest to a title Oregon's gotten.
Is this what you're telling me? Do I get to claim these? Do I claim these titles?
It's a really interesting
story.
He's
from Portland. Chip Kelly helped him. I think we claim these. That's at least a half of a ring. That counts as like a shared national title.
Oh, so you're going to pull a Huskies.
That's a shared national title right there. Okay, let's hang the banner in Autzen. Let's get on it, people. Come on. Come on. Raise that thing up. That's a half a national title. Make sure it's a .5 on there, though. Let's be legit here, okay?
I actually thought it was a really good story. Like in camp, he taped off the paint. So when you were coming up, if you're bringing the ball up the court, you get past half court, you look in the paint. No big was allowed to cross the tape.
They went floor is lava, NBA practice.
Yeah, basically is what LeBron said that they did.
You can't go in there.
And it, I mean, if you go watch the tape, they obviously they beat the Thunder in five that year. It yeah. freed everything up and changed everything for them to play Bosch at the five and put him in like in the corner for the kickouts.
It's funny when you hear stories about an innovative head coach who is looking for answers and solutions to problems that their team might have, and then compare that to the situation we have in Portland. Because we have a very similar problem. We did the YouTube hit with Ben Golliver last week, and he pointed out no matter how well DeAndre Ayton played late in the season for Portland, one of the biggest issues that they have is that he's a paint clogger. He clogs it up. He's like me with toilets, man. He's just in the middle, and it's going to be a bad problem. And Scoot Henderson needs to have a cleared out paint. He needs to have an unclogged area so that he can attack the hoop and try and finish. But when you have a center who's always standing around there, it's not an easy solution for him. And so now that I know that there are answers out there, a la paint is lava and go find a stretch five, I'm curious if Portland finds the same solutions.
Yeah, Golliver said they need to trade Ayton. They need to move off him, figure out a five it a different way because
that
as
can
you
stretch
mentioned,
the floor.
Yeah, and free up some more space for Scoot. I don't know if they're gonna do that, but
I mean they're not gonna do that because it's a reasonable thing to do to develop your young point guard, and they're not gonna do it.
Well, before he went on a tear, though, there was a report that they were willing to trade him at the deadline.
I feel like I've heard a report that they're willing to trade everybody on their team. Ah, they're not sure about Scoot. Ah, we don't know about Ayton, and they don't end up trading anybody.
Imagine the look it would have been around the league. If they would have traded Ayton after he came into the year saying, I'm dominating.
I think they could have said, hey, this is what happens when you don't show up to games because of ice, buddy. All right? Your ass is grass. Get out of here.
We're not hurting him for that.
Get to work, okay?
Every Oregonian stays home in that situation. I'm not going
to
get mad at
him. Not committed to winning. He's not committed enough, all right?
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, what do you got?
Because my show sheet's interesting today. I'm breaking up the basketball from the football. But I'm probably going to push the basketball later into the show because I got a lot of football notes I want to get to. The draft's tomorrow. Would you guys say the NFL and NHL playoff or the NBA, excuse me, and NHL playoffs have been good, meh, or not that great?
I would say not that great.
Yeah.
I think they've been good so far.
You had the two games two nights ago that were fantastic. Last night, the Clipper Dallas game was good.
Was it?
I mean, it was
like 70 to 68 in the fourth quarter.
I'll give you close scores. Okay. The other two games were not good at all.
Indiana-Milwaukee
was terrible. Yeah. Minnesota-Phoenix was close for the first 2.5 quarters, and then Minnesota pulled away, and it was over from there. You finally got your first overtime game last night in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I was gonna say, it took a little while for the NHL to get into the overtime.
It took a while. You had that first Winnipeg-Colorado game was really good. What was the other high-scoring one?
We had
the
7-6. Was it
that was Winnipeg-Colorado.
Yeah.
That was game one.
13 goals, yeah.
Was then that game played, one, 13
yeah,
goals?
Yeah, that was game one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had that. A little disappointing so far. I'm going to give you a little disappointing.
You're a little over the map there.
I am. I was trying to think. I'm going disappointing.
I think it's been good. Hasn't been great yet. Yeah, the one game night, one great night for the NBA.
The doubleheader on TNT. Yeah.
I thought the games started to get interesting. They weren't the most aesthetically pleasing last night, but I think they got interesting with Kawhi Leonard coming back for the Clippers, and all of a sudden
he stunk.
The offense bogged down rather than the free flowing that. He was team one.
Playoff James Harden showed up as well, too.
Yep.
Well, this, I don't defend James Harden much.
Don't do it.
Kawhi coming back and clearly not being right, it throws everything else off.
It does.
Everybody else has to he's back. James Harden can't be quite James Harden because, Kawhi is here.
He still jacked up 10 threes and went 2 of 10.
You know, he didn't hit his shot, certainly.
Now, personally, I've enjoyed the Timberwolves. I've enjoyed the Timberwolves shutting the Suns down.
Yeah, it's been fun.
That's been enjoyable. I don't know how great the basketball is, but.
Well, they say, what is the Remember the Titan line? Attitude reflect leadership. And I just watch Phoenix. I go, you guys all look like you're Kevin Durant.
Just quitting on the
quiet
season.
Passive players who sometimes have good outings, but you know, largely can be overtaken and broken at any given moment in the game.
I got takes on the Suns for you today. I got some Quake takes for you.
Well, I'll tell you what. I want you to save the Quake takes for basketball stuff when we get to it. But there's all you have. You seen the internet's a buzz?
No, what happened to the internet's buzzing today?
Oh, we're already moving on to the next Kevin Durant team. If Phoenix gets eliminated.
Where's he going next year? Doesn't he have like 4 years left on his contract? Didn't he just sign an extension in Brooklyn?
Was he going to end up with the Heat now? Is that the next one?
El Heat.
Is he going back to the Warriors?
No, he was caught liking a post of a player that everyone went,
Scoot Henderson.
You were kind of close with one of your guesses. There's a real buzz, and this is just buzz that doesn't have any actual backing, by the way. But there's real buzz that he might try to pull a LeBron. I'm coming home.
Yeah.
And jump onto the next young wave that might help lead him to a championship.
He's got 2 years left on his deal,
by the way.
$51 million, $54 million the next 2 years. They got a lot of young guys. There's probably some cap space open in OKC. You can make that work.
That's not a player you need.
No,
you need a big. You need a solid, good big down there, and you let everybody else keep growing.
We got one, DeAndre Ayton. You can have him.
I don't
unclog our toilet.
I don't know if I'd want DeAndre if I was in Oklahoma City.
Sure, I don't know if they do, but we can offload him and we can get some more draft picks. They got all those assets to play with.
It'd be really funny if he did go back to OKC,
win a title,
try
after
to do
all
the LeBron
that.
Thing.
And that's his entire career is following the LeBron blueprint, but he has not won his own title yet. You can say all you want that you know LeBron's don't count in Miami because he was on in this super team. That's fine. He went to Cleveland and won one. And Kevin Durant
went to LA and won one.
He did. Kevin Durant needs to win one, and he hasn't.
Kevin Durant's already been on more teams than LeBron has.
He has.
After making fun of him on Twitter in 2010, of like, can't we stop running with these guys? Run it back. That's on his fourth team.
Soon to be number five.
Probably.
If they get swept in the first round of the playoffs, there is no chance he is a Phoenix Sun next year.
Not a chance.
He sees the writing on the wall. He's 36 years old. He's getting the hell out of there.
Well, we got a busy show. We will get to the association and the playoffs. Dirt says he's got Quake takes to get to today, so we'll get to that. Statter story at 8:15. We'll talk about that. Let's start with some NFL draft dealings. Important notes going into the NFL draft. This train has left the station, and NFL Zigger Zag loaded first hour. Let's get it started. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, well, sometimes the sports universe gives you something and you must take it, so thank you to the universe.
Call me, I'll come over and eat it. I bet it's delightful.
So glad he pulled that. That was such a great thing to just say in the moment.
Just give me a ring, dude. I'll come over and eat it.
No.
Let me know what you need, buddy. I'm here for you.
It's very awkward that you actually have something in your mouth while you say that.
I'm eating a nice little breakfast bar over here. It's good. I didn't eat any breakfast today.
I am like the Avatar. I've got a leaf over my junk, and I'm bowing at an almighty tree to the sports universe for this gift. I will pivot out, and I will do this. Pete Thamel is reporting that Reggie Bush is going to get his 2005 Heisman Trophy back today.
one of the dumbest things in decisions in sports that has ever been made has finally been corrected. This has never made any sense.
Great job.
O.J. Simpson still has his Heisman Trophy. Guy murdered his wife. He's an absolute horrible human being.
Well,
he definitely did, and he is on his way to. He's dead. He can't sue me anymore. He's on his way to hell. He still has his Heisman Trophy, and we took Reggie Bush's away because they bought his parents a house when everybody was paying for recruits and have been for basically eons in college football. Johnny Manziel still has his Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
That dude was signing autographs and getting paid and doing.
And he was out and out, like loud about it.
Very honest and open about all the rules and laws that he was breaking. But no, look, you can keep your Heisman Trophy. Reggie Bush is the only stance that they ever decided to take. It never made any sense. He is one of the best college football players ever. He is the best college football player that I have ever seen with my own eyeballs.
Like in your
in my lifetime, yeah. With my eyeballs, not on TV. See, I will never forget being at Oregon State's home game against USC in the fog.
The fog game, yeah.
I'll never forget when I went to that game.
Look at you. You were a little beaver.
I had some family friends who were trying to get me to go to Oregon State, and that was like sophomore year of high school for me. And they're like, yeah, come on down, see the campus.
You weren't totally against it, though.
No, I wasn't at all. I've thought very hard about going to Oregon State, and I will. He returned a punt in that game. I'll never forget watching him live and in person, and just being blown away. And this is a wrong that has been long overdue to be corrected, and finally, it has been.
Just emerging from the fog. Oh, there he is. Yeah, he's going to score.
There he goes again. I'll never forget when he scored a touchdown at Autzen, and his shoes fell off. And Oregon that year, I think it was 2005, went like 11-1. That was a good Oregon team. The only team they lost to was USC. USC came to Autzen and just kicked their teeth in.
They were a different level team, man. They really were. Like 4 or 5 years ago, I remember Fox had gone back to USC for one of their big games.
Yeah.
And Reggie was there because obviously he was a part of the broadcast at that point.
Basically a USC crew, him and Matt Leiner.
It was. And it was a big deal because that was his first like public return to USC since the end, the 06 year, the 05 year was stripped basically. And they showed him love. And I remember it was early morning. I was taking my dog on a walk and I was just like, oh man, this was really cool. So I'd sent something dumb out on Twitter. Like, it's so dumb that we took this dude's Heisman. Like, let's just correct this wrong.
It's very
we all know
thing.
It's obvious. What a dumb thing to do. And I'll never forget it. Very rarely do I have takes that age this well. I had somebody respond to it and be like, this is why you're a joke of a host. You have no real integrity. This guy clearly deserves to lose his Heisman. Maybe if you had the same integrity as other radio hosts, you'd be good. And I got into a little, I just was like, what?
Where the hell did that come from?
And I basically was like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
This is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen happen in my life is we're taking this guy's trophy away as if it's going to change anything about what happened or is going to happen.
The dumbest thing we do in sports.
And 4 or 5 years fast forward, here we are today, and he's getting it. I just want to know if that person's going to tweet me and be like, hey, remember I questioned your integrity? I was a moron.
There's zero chance you're going to get that. The erasing of sports is one of the funniest things that we try
and do.
It is
so stupid.
Like, we just went through this recently. Herm Edwards got a 5-year show cause penalty, which is one of the longest a head coach has ever gotten. And that was in the light of their president and athletic director at the time coming out and raving about how great of a person he was and how he had nothing to do with any of their scandal.
Well, that president's throwing him under the bus now.
Now he is, and he got a 5-year show cause, and he accepted the penalty because the dude flat out cheated. Like, we're stripping Arizona State of wins, like that matters out. Like, what does that mean? What does
that
mean?
They weren't even that good.
They were like, won 7 games. We're gonna strip those 7 wins like it didn't happen. This idea that we're just gonna erase some of the best college football teams of my lifetime from the memory and from the history books, like it never happened. Like, dude, I was alive. I saw USC win a national championship. I saw Reggie Bush run all over Florida State and flip the ball behind his back. Those are memories that I have as a fan, and you pretending that they didn't happen is not going to take that away.
Well, the NFL draft is tomorrow, and it's funny to think about this, that he gets this trophy back today. And I told Dirt this during the break. I said, man, like, if you would have given, he was drafted 06, right? The 06 draft?
Sounds right.
Let's
maybe 06. Yeah, no, maybe 07. Wasn't the Texas USC title game 06?
Yeah. So, I don't, okay, whatever that draft was.
Yeah.
I was 20.
No, you're right, 2006 draft.
Okay, so I was probably 19 years old. 19. If you would have given 19-year-old Brandon Sprague the reins to the number one pick in Houston, I talk about whiffing. Oh my God. I would have taken him and I wouldn't even have considered.
No.
I knew all those players and I wouldn't even have considered any other player except him if I was the Houston general manager. And look, his career wasn't short, but compared to what maybe a lot of us thought, a little disappointing. Like, I thought that guy was going to be 2.0 Barry Sanders.
I did too.
And obviously, USC was absolutely loaded on both sides and just a great system situation. He was a phenomenal player, one of, if not the best college player I've also ever seen. But I would have absolutely whiffed as the Houston general manager picking him over any other player in that draft.
I will never forget laughing at Houston for that draft and in the moment. Just like, how dumb could you possibly be? You have the easiest layup pick of all time at number one overall, and you screwed it up because you tried to outthink the room.
He would have been such a, like, he obviously would have been somewhat disappointing through the first couple years of his career. I didn't think he was awful in New Orleans. They already had, what, Deuce McAllister, I think.
Yeah.
But man, you want to talk about buzz? I don't know what the Mario Williams jerseys were doing on the shelves. Reggie's would have been so, you would have made so much more money as an organization drafting Reggie Bush in the first couple years. And it's not about that, obviously. And Mario actually had a pretty decent career.
He did.
I was wrong on that. But yeah, I would have taken him without a doubt. First pick, not a consideration of any other prospect.
No.
And we would have made a lot of money on it.
Yeah, you would have sold a lot of
everybody
tickets.
Everybody would have been like, ooh, this isn't working out quite how we thought.
3 years in, it wouldn't have looked great. Fun memory lane flashback, the top five of that draft. Mario Williams, 1 to Houston. Reggie Bush, 2 to New Orleans. Vince Young, 3 to Tennessee. DeBrickashaw Ferguson, 4 to the Jets. A.J. Hawk, 5 to the Green Bay Packers.
Hey, Pat McAfee's co-host.
That was your top five. Now he's smoking cigars on TV, dude.
Not
guys,
talking.
Guy's living a good life, man. He's got the best radio gig on the planet.
You could argue, yeah, I mean,
he doesn't have to do anything. He just sits there. He smiles. He says like 4 words a show. He's like Silent Bob.
Probably makes 7 figures to just sit there with his yes, ponytail.
I want that guy's job.
That's a great life.
I'm so jealous. When can I just zoom in from my garage with a cigar in my mouth, make 8 times the amount of money I'm making right now with a, that's a good point, Brandon. I'll do that. I'll be that guy.
I just want to be the guy with the mullet who nobody knows his name, but he'll just chime in occasionally to anything McAfee says.
Who the hell's that guy? I don't know.
Do people know those names?
I think the P1s of the show probably know the names.
Yeah, the diehards that watch every single day.
But if you're like a drive-by viewer like I am, I don't know them all by heart.
I've seen quite a bit of McAfee. I wouldn't say P1, but I catch a lot of McAfee stuff.
Sure.
I don't know his name.
I don't either.
He talks the most of the guys, him and the cowboy hat guy.
Yeah, there's a cowboy hat guy and a mullet guy.
There's a mullet guy and a cowboy hat guy, and I don't know their names.
It's a ragtag crew, man.
Those are great gigs. Chime in occasionally with a thought.
Yes.
Hey, here you go. Let me try to tee you up, Pat.
I'm going to jump on in. I'm going to jump on out, okay?
That's a great
put
gig.
One hand in, put one hand out.
Oh, I love
Let's
that.
Let's do the hokey pokey and end this segment.
Reggie Bush, Heisman Trophy coming back today. Pete Thamel is reporting that the Heisman Trust is going to make that announcement. And Reggie will probably have something on his socials.
I wonder if he'll go to the event next year.
He should.
The ceremony. Hey, but I'm sure
he should be highlighted.
I'm saying there's probably still some bad blood here. This is long overdue. But if you're Reggie Bush, I don't think you're just like bygones be bygones. Like you tried to pretend that I didn't exist for 20 years, and now you just want me open arms back at your ceremony. I don't know if I'm giving that to you.
I think the trophy is the gesture of we were wrong.
Be the bigger man.
Yeah. What do you have to lose from it?
Nothing.
He got fired from Fox. All he does is golf now.
Reggie Bush got fired from Fox?
Didn't he?
Did he?
I'm pretty sure they took him off that broadcast.
Arms up. I don't
Swag
know.
Is supposed to be the Oracle. This is.
Did he? Did he get fired from Fox?
I think they took, yeah, I think they took him off.
Okay.
I'm not saying that very confidently,
no,
am I?
No, you're not.
I thought they had broken up the USC thing because it was a little too USC-ish.
I don't watch the big nooner. This is a Sports Illustrated.
Mark Ingram.
Reggie Bush likely out at Fox?
Yeah, I think they replaced him with Mark Ingram.
All right, yeah, you're right. I guess he just plays golf.
That's all, and he's an amazing stick. I follow him on Instagram. He's just posting great golf shots at amazing country clubs because he gets in, he sits on Reggie Bush.
He's
like, great.
He's Reggie Bush.
Come play.
He plays wherever he wants, man. Now, again, a Heisman Trophy winner.
An important note on the the day before the NFL draft, and NFL Zigger Zag is all next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, we've got NFL Zigger Zag coming up, an NFL draft edition of it. We'll dive into the association. I've got five players I want to ask a question to you about. We have a loaded second hour of the radio program. Off to a great start. We're talking about terms in the state of Utah. We're learning new things.
It's a good soaking and quaking conversation during the commercial break.
Yeah, learning what some of that stuff. Yeah, yes.
Educating ourselves.
Yeah.
We're fully prepared.
Adam Schefter set this out, and I thought it was really interesting. We talked a little bit yesterday about value of picks and how teams allow ego and impatience to get in the way of the NFL draft. We will see that again this year. I know Sam Monson was... Yeah, Sam Monson doesn't want to cut where he's like, I wouldn't trust blah, 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 blah. He works for PFF. I get it.
Yeah.
There are certainly a ton of teams in this league that you would probably say, do you trust them? And you go, no, why would I?
There's no reason to.
Well, this is interesting. This is from Paul Hembo, who I believe works on a lot of their ESPN shows. He's a behind-the-scenes stat producer guy.
He does a thing on Get Up where it's like a stump the, here's a trivia question.
Hembo's can you come up? Question of the day or whatever. I think the Bear used to do this. And this is the last 20 drafts, so 2000 to 2019, okay? Every position he labeled, whether it was a hit, a miss, and what the total was, and then what the percentages of that is. Now, his term of labeling hit versus miss, which you can certainly argue, like, I think you can get into a hit, and then is it star or just meh? Those are different things. But hit or miss. And miss, to him, qualifies as signed a second contract with the team that drafted them.
Yes, and some players get traded on their rookie contract because the team doesn't want to pay him. So that happens occasionally. So a hair misleading, but pretty darn accurate.
So our guy in Eugene at the center position might be in a good spot here. Center was the most successful hit position in the NFL draft the last 20 years. 11 hits, 1 misses, 12 total. 92% hit rate.
That was the biggest shock to me that there were only 12 centers for a 19-year stretch taken in the first round of the draft.
Well, it's a weird thing because we know it's an important position. Sukanik certainly talks about the difficulties of the position.
Yeah, you're the leader of the offensive line. You're communicating the calls. Think about the way we talked about Jason Kelce, only 12 guys in the first round.
Well, isn't that it, right? Like, he's the most famous of them at the position, but we've had a lot of great ones over the years. But I think the emergence of him as a celebrity and the tush push and all the media conversations that have happened the last like 2-3 years, it's an elevated position now where I think teams covet it and they value it. They haven't throughout the journey, but I think you're going to start seeing it more and more in the first round. Just all the lineman positions are of real good value.
JPJ should be a first-round pick. He might not be a first-round pick. That dude should be a first-round pick.
I think he will be.
There's a lot of the mocks I've seen lately have him like first pick of the second round. He's borderline. If anybody that I've seen who deserves to be a first round pick, that dude does.
Offensive tackles. There have been 64 of these in 20 years. 59% hit rate.
D's get degrees, baby.
Yeah. I think you take that all day.
Great on a curve.
Guard position. 28 total. 50%. Flip of a coin.
Which is hilarious because we talk about the boring drafts that don't often get headlines. What is your team taking in the top 10 that kind of puts you to sleep? An offensive lineman. Who's that guy? Where is he from? Okay. And this shows you the only three positions in the entire NFL for a 19-year stretch that had more of a 50% hit rate on getting to that next contract were offensive linemen.
Isn't that a little bit crazy?
It's easier to evaluate, in my opinion. Big body, is he athletic? Can he move? Is he somewhat smart? Can he pick up calls? I think the evaluation there for those guys in that position is easier than it is anywhere else on the field. Doesn't mean that, again, you're not going to get misses. There are misses in here, but it's why I think if you're a GM and why Jim Harbaugh's talking about this, like, it's a safe pick, dude. We get a tackle. We feel like we can plug him in day one. There's not a development phase that we have to go through, and we're going to know right away whether or not we got a corner stone for the next 10 years.
Linebackers are 48% mm-hmm. a hit. Defensive tackles are 40%. Edge rushers are 44%.
Yeah, it was a little surprising.
Edge rushers, it's a wild card for me. Everybody proclaims this edge rusher in this draft is going to be the next great edge rusher, and you're like, like, how are the Jags feeling right now watching Aiden Hutchinson play versus having Trevon Walker?
Maybe missed that one a little bit.
Hey, we got the guy that won the combine. Awesome. How's that working out for you so far?
He was a freak athlete, man. Freak athlete.
Detroit got themselves a stud, yeah, and a dude that wanted to stay in the state of Michigan and play for the Lions.
Yes.
Cornerback is 38%, but I think people still covet that position. It's so important that you're going to keep taking the swing. Running back is 38%. Not a position I would touch in the first round.
No, you should not.
Safety, 34%. Interesting why the secondary is so hard to gauge.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with who's playing around you in college. What defensive scheme are you in? I think those guys can be difficult to evaluate. Like
but why? Like, it's pretty cut and dry when you just talk about the position of safety and corner. And there's a lot that goes into it mentally.
Mm-hmm.
But like Pat Surtain. That's a dude you look at, you go, yep. And,
yeah.
And he's been really good.
He's been great.
But you look at corner and you go, well, that guy, why is he not doing really good? Like, I think the Toledo kid, I forget his name, but the kid who's coming from Toledo, he's going to be sure. The first round. Is he going to be a stud? He played at Toledo. All the measurements say he will. The scouts are raving about him.
Yeah.
But cornerback is a 38% hit rate.
I would just say the Surtain example is a good one, and there's a lot of guys who have come from big schools who have been really good. I think a lot of the success in the secondary depends on what – it's a position where you're really reliant on the rest of your defense. If you don't have a defensive line that can get home and you're a corner, you can't cover for 7, 8, 9 seconds. You're going to get beat eventually. If you're a corner who has terrible safeties in pass coverage, you're probably going to get beat a little bit more often than not. So you might have guys that are downgraded a little bit that end up slipping because their numbers aren't exactly what we thought they would be in college. They end up being second, third round picks, but they're better pros because they're in a better system with better players around them, and vice versa. You could be a corner who plays on a defense where the defensive line is dominant and you only got to cover for 3 seconds, and the safety over the top is an all-pro and going to be an all-pro in the NFL, and your life is incredibly easy, and maybe we overinflate the player that you are.
Quarterback is 46%, so sub 50% is the hit rate on these. The last couple drafts, people have obviously highlighted 2021 and where all those guys are now playing.
Different
outside
teams.
Of Trevor Lawrence, different teams. Sub 50%, and you're still going to get a bunch of teams desperate, trade up, hope that they hit, because that's what it is. If you hit that position on the rookie scale deal, and even if it turns into a dude you got to sign, that's the most important position. So it's weird that it's a sub 50, but all these teams will just climb over each other to try to get the one because they think they're going to get the one out of that position.
This is why I think the single dumbest conversation that we're having right now about quarterbacks and where they're going to go is the age thing. This was trending again last night on Twitter, and it was because Jaden Daniels, somebody put out a graphic basically of since the 2010 draft, the oldest quarterbacks to go in the first round. And this is assuming Knicks, Penix, and Daniels do go. Brandon Weeden is the oldest. He was 28 and a half, minor league baseball player. That's an outlier. The next two highest since 2010 oldest guys would be Knicks, who is 24.2 years old. Penix is 24 years old. And then you go Pickett, Tannehill, Burrow, Wentz, and then Jaden Daniels, 23.3. Mm. So these guys have a chance to be three of the oldest quarterbacks taken in the first round. And there was a highlight floating around of Jaden Daniels saying basically he's been in college so long that he threw a touchdown pass to Brandon Ayuk over D'Amador Lenore to beat Justin Herbert's Oregon Ducks in pre-COVID college football. That's how long he's been around. But this highlights, like, I keep seeing this argument. Well, what's the argument against Knicks or Penix or, you know, some of these older guys? Well, it's their age. You're 24 years old. This number tells us less than 50% of these guys get to their second contract.
Yes.
Why do I give a rat's ass whether you're 24 or 22 when there's only a 46% chance I'm giving you another deal? I'm not worried about 16 years from now. I'm not worried about 12 years from now. I'm worried about 4 years from now. Are you a starter in the NFL at the age of 28? I think it's one of the dumber conversations we're having right now.
I think it's certainly interesting. A lot of NIL and how it's changing the draft landscape. And I'd add to that, receivers 27, by the way. Total crapshoot, dependent on the quarterback.
Yeah.
We can kind of understand why they fail. We can also see, you know, circumstance where it didn't work at the first stop, works at the next stop. It's all dependent on other positions. Obviously, being a stud, if you're Justin Jefferson type, you're going to stand out. But a lot of these guys, it's just dependent on where they go. Last thing I'd add on the quarterback age thing. The interesting notes I've heard to say pro the older quarterback, the Penix, the Nix, the Daniels, they have shown the ability to evolve, grow, and get better. Yep. All three of them.
All through very difficult circumstances.
Penix, I didn't think so much about because it was Indiana, but like Nix and Daniels being what they were blows my mind. I saw those guys play at previous stops and it's like, meh, to no. And they became really good, won a Heisman. You take the younger quarterback because of what you say. They're projecting out 10 to 12 years and saying, well, he's 20 now. I mean, imagine what he could be at 23. But I just saw guys, what they do at 23. Those guys got better.
Yeah.
Nix has gone through how many offensive coordinators in his career in college?
Different one every single season.
And he got infinitely better. Penix got infinitely better. Yeah. Daniels won the Heisman. I don't know if May's going to get better. No, by the way, he has to get better in the NFL, where I'd argue it's harder to get better. Right. Whereas in college, you can do it. And you build more confidence that way. And I don't know if Nix, Penix, or Daniels are going to be good. But I know they're at least going to be confident enough in themselves to say, I've gone through the adversity. I've gotten through it.
Yeah.
I can navigate my way to being a good, consistent starter. Whereas we have no idea if Drake May is going to figure that out. He didn't have a great last year of college. And I just, the best thing you hope for is that he does figure it out in the NFL, but that's the hardest level to figure it out.
It's just funny, man. We can't take him. He's 24 years old, dude. There's a good chance this guy's not in the NFL at 29, so why do I care if he's 24?
Yeah.
Half these guys are going to flame out. We pretend every year in the draft that that's not the case.
NFL Zig or Zag Draft Edition next on The Fan. All right, we'll get into some association stuff at the top of the hour. We're rocking on some football 34 hours until the NFL draft. Yes, we are sickos to the point where ESPN has to put that on your screen to let you know. 34 hours until it's live.
The countdown begins. Did the teams, are the leagues taking the tomorrow night off? I forget how they do that. Or are we having NBA playoff games and an NFL draft? Both.
We're having both.
Okay, that's a lot.
I'm surprised the NBA didn't just roll over and say, okay, NFL, you can have the day.
Yeah, let's see. Who plays tomorrow? You got Cavs, Magic, don't need to watch it. Knicks, Sixers, Nuggets, Lakers. There's a lot going on.
You want a prediction? The NFL draft's going to rate better than all three of those games combined.
It definitely will. Lakers and Nuggets is the only one that has a chance because it's LeBron.
That's $3 million at this point. Draft is probably going to pull 12 million
viewers. It'll be big.
NFL Zig or Zag Draft Edition. Let's get it going. A lot to get to in the second hour of the show. A lot of noise out there, particularly from Bruce Feldman, who was set out to write about the quarterbacks of this class, but he got so much wide receiver feedback in doing the research that he pivoted, and he wrote a piece on The Athletic on the wide receivers in the draft. And one of the things that he kept hearing about was who the best receiver in the draft was. Dirt. Zig or Zag, Malik Nabers will be the better NFL receiver than Marvin Harrison Jr. because a lot of scouts and coaches were telling Bruce Feldman, anonymously, of course.
Yes.
Malik Nabers is actually the better player.
I always have a hard time with these kind of rumors that come out around now because how much of it is trying to leak information or get info out there of this guy's better or this guy's got questions.
Maybe according to Belichick, pass on this guy. All of it.
That's where it's all just flooding the water with misinformation. I'm going to zag on that. It's not a real confident zag, but I'm going to zag on that. I understand the criticisms of Marvin Harrison Jr. The numbers didn't jump off the page necessarily last year the way that some others did. He was not deserving of winning the Biletnikoff. That was one of the dumber awards that we've seen handed out in a long time in college football.
That was a joke. That upset me.
But I also, if you play it both ways, say, if I put Marvin Harrison Jr. in the Ryan Grubb offense in Seattle with Michael Penix throwing to him, his numbers are better. And if I put him playing with Heisman Trophy winner where they're running up stats against Baylor School for the Blind in the Southeast, he's putting up better numbers. He had a bad quarterback throwing him the ball in an offense that was largely built on running it, and they were a team that played defense. So the numbers didn't jump off. I still would take him, though, as wide receiver number one between him and Adunze, and that's mainly just because I saw Adunze play more than I saw Nabers play.
Pretty simple one here. Zig or Zag, there will be two franchise quarterbacks drafted this year. Now think about the way I phrased that.
Yes. At any time.
At any time of the draft, there will be two that emerge from this draft as franchise quarterbacks.
I'm going to zig on that. I'll zig on it because I think you're going to get one from the collection of bunch that we're talking about endlessly. And then it seems like in a lot of years in the NFL, there's a chance that you get the rando. Like, who's the guy that we're not, who's Brock Purdy this year that we're just not talking about? It's going to be a fifth-round pick, Russell Wilson, third-round pick, Kirk Cousins, third-round pick, Dak Prescott, third-round pick. We didn't talk about any of those guys going into the draft, and then you look up years later and they're franchise quarterbacks. So I think you're going to end up with two, one from the bunch. Caleb Williams is probably the odds-on favorite there, but one of those guys will get it, and if one of the others doesn't, I think there's a chance you get an outlier there in the fourth round somewhere. I'll say Zig.
Kid from Western Kentucky, Austin Reed, randomly just emerges. Sam Hartman and his beautiful flowing hair just becomes a great thing.
I think about Jordan Travis at Florida State, man. If Jordan Travis didn't shatter his ankle or knee or whatever it was, where's he in this conversation? Can he come back healthy? He was a tremendous player in college.
A photo of Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams together was posted to social media yesterday. They both took the same flight to Detroit for the draft. There's also a report that Odunze caught passes from Williams along with Keenan Allen. Zig or zag, the Bears should look to add a playmaking weapon for Caleb with their second first-round pick. They're currently at 1-9.
Yeah, it's... I'm going to zag on that just because I don't know what the board looks like yet. I want to know what the board looks like and who's available there at 9. Do we get four quarterbacks to go right out of the gate? Like, is that the first four picks of the draft? Does somebody go different? Does somebody trade up to 5 and take a fifth quarterback or the first 5 picks of the draft quarterbacks? Because if that's the case...
It's never happened.
It's never happened before. Might happen this year. Who knows? Maybe it doesn't.
Never had 4 in a row.
Never had 4 in a row. That's where I'm... It's just hard because I don't know what the board looks like at 9. What else is available? Chicago's got a lot of holes to plug. They're not close to competing, in my mind, for a championship yet.
Really?
I don't think so. I think
they were good last year at the end.
I mean, yeah... I don't know about good. They were better than they had been. They were a serviceable NFL team. I'll grant you that. If there's an elite offensive lineman there, that offensive line was not very good. Their defense was okay, but can you go get a stud defensive tackle or a defensive lineman? It's just hard not knowing what the board looks like. I think you have DJ Moore, who's a really good wide receiver. Keenan Allen's going to be great for Caleb Williams as a rookie. Underneath guy, reliable route runner. So I don't think it's necessarily the biggest need for them. But if you don't have this run on quarterbacks and a lot of other guys end up going, and then Odunze's there at 9, then I would be okay. But I'll zag for now.
Last one, Diana Rossini of The Athletic wrote, the Commanders had 20 prospects hang out with their personnel execs at Topgolf, where Rossini writes that Jaden Daniels' agent was not pleased about this. In fact, he was irate. He wanted more one-on-one time. He wanted, oh, daddy, look at me. But he had to share the spotlight with 19 others. She also writes that sources close to Daniels say his, quote, dream scenario, end quote, is to end up in Vegas to be reunited with Antonio Pierce. Zig or zag that DC and Daniels are not a good fit.
I'll zig on it just because I don't think much of Jaden Daniels as an NFL quarterback. So for that reason... I'll zig on it. They got a new defensive coach. I'm not a huge fan of that when it comes to developing a young quarterback, so I don't think that's a great fit either. Not that Vegas has one because Pierce is not an offensive guy either. The whole being upset about this and being angry about multiple people being around at a Topgolf event, like, this is one of the dumber headlines I've seen in a while. His agent's been quote tweeting things too, like, get over yourself, dude. Who do you think you're not the easy pick to be number one overall? You might not even end up going number two overall. You padded your stats against bad teams in the SEC. Like, get out of here, man. Get your ego in check.
There we go. NFL Zig or Zag every Wednesday at 6:45. A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. We'll talk about Luka and the Mavs, which leads me to ask you this question going into the break, Dirt. Which one of these young players is going to interrupt the Jokic party? If somebody's to interrupt it, which one of these four players would you pick most likely to do it? Ann Edwards, Luka, SGA, or Wemby? Loaded second hour of the show. Think about that one. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.